Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from our gospel lesson, Matthew 9. But when he, Jesus, heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." We are now officially in the season of Pentecost. It used to be called the season of Trinity. And in the season of Pentecost or Trinity, instead of focusing on the life of Christ, his birth all the way to the crucifixion, ascension, the emphasis of the gospel lesson seemed to focus on his life, his teaching, his miracles. And so now we can apply these to the ministry of the church and to the life of a believer. The verses immediately prior to our gospel lesson records Jesus' healing of a paralytic. The crowds were amazed at this miracle, and they were amazed at his words of forgiveness. For Jesus said to this paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." They were amazed at that. And then Jesus' words, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." They were amazed at his authority. And in the verses of our text today, Jesus expresses a different kind of authority. So today he comes to a village by the sea, and there he finds Matthew. Now, he knew Matthew was there. Now, this account is also recorded in Luke and in Mark. And there we find Matthew named Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Possibly Levi was the name that was given him at his circumcision. Now the name Matthew means the gift of the Lord. As with other figures in Scripture, both the Old and New Testament, names often are changed to reflect an important event in that person's life. And so we have Matthew in his new self as a gift of the Lord. So back to the account. Matthew humbly and briefly describes the scene. We have to always kind of put in mind that it is Matthew who is writing this text. Matthew is writing about himself. And so Jesus sees Matthew working at his desk. Nothing accidental here. Jesus meant to find Matthew, but he sees him at his work. And we all know Matthew is the publican, the tax collector. And since the tax collector was looked upon by his fellow Jews as a thief, a cheat, a minion of Rome, this description itself is really a public confession by Matthew of his sinful life. You know, he could very well have just forgotten that little bit of information, but it's there for all to see and to hear. The name Matthew indicates that he has received a gift from God. He is the recipient of God's mercy. So Jesus simply invites Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew's response is simply doing exactly that. He records, "And he rose and followed him." Now think about that. for Matthew to leave everything and follow Jesus seems kind of improbable. I guess we could also assume that Jesus and Matthew have had some kind of contact before this, that Matthew sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, and had received the forgiveness of sins. So now, with that in mind, Matthew's response to what he has heard from Jesus, that word of mercy, is understandable. Again, we think about the authority of Jesus' words. He simply spoke the words, and Matthew responds by rising and following. Now, this is very similar to the account in chapter 4 where Jesus goes to those two fishermen, Peter and Andrew, and he says to them, simply, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the response in Matthew is, immediately they left their nets. And again, in the previous verses, we have the paralytic who responded also to Jesus' authority concerning his sins and taking his bed and going home. So it kind of fits the pattern. Matthew now responds to that mercy that was shown him in Jesus Christ. He was forgiven. And so he rose and followed him. Now, the readers of Matthew have already read about following Jesus. In chapter 8, there's the scribe who comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus responds, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then another disciple says to Jesus, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And we are familiar with that very stark response of Jesus. "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Maybe as Matthew sat at the feet of Jesus, he heard similar words from him. And so he may have realized, at least partially, what following Jesus would mean. Now, the reader of the Gospel of Matthew would certainly be aware of the cost of following Jesus. Certainly, we find that in chapter 16. There, Jesus began to teach his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And good old Peter responds, "No, this can't happen to you." And Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So Matthew's readers would have realized that following Jesus involved more than just getting up and walking down the road with Jesus. It meant suffering, suffering even to the point of death for the faith. And as we look at the lives of the apostles, we know what following Jesus looks like. Many of them were martyred, killed for the faith, for following Jesus. Knowing what Jesus went through, his own suffering and torture in his trial and death, is enough for anyone to think twice about following Jesus. So why would Matthew follow Jesus? Why would he leave everything? Why did Peter and Andrew leave everything and follow Jesus? Why would you follow Jesus? The answer to that is in the context of what happened to Matthew. I guess we could say the rest of the story. We're always reminded of God's grace and his mercy in Jesus Christ. Matthew followed Jesus because he had experienced the mercy of God. He had been forgiven. He had received that precious gift from Jesus, and through this gift, new life. And it was not only Matthew that received this new life. Later in his own home, there were other tax collectors and sinners who also received the mercy of God through the words of Jesus. He spoke those words to them, "Your sins are forgiven." He spoke those words of new life to them. He called them to new lives of faith in the mercy of God. Did all respond as Matthew did? We don't know. But I would say that there were sinners and tax collectors that day who believed in Jesus and turned away from their life of sin. There were people there who experienced that new life in Christ. So following Jesus begins here with that new life, that gift of life that God gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In his word and sacraments, the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting with God, gathered with all the saints around the throne, is offered and given. For most of us here this morning, that new life began at our baptism. There in that precious gift, we were washed and made clean in the blood of Christ. There may be others here who have been connected with Christ through the word of Scripture itself, or words spoken by a friend, a family member, or even a complete stranger. A side note, several weeks ago, we were in the security line at the airport in Des Moines, Iowa. And a gentleman came up to us with a tract. A tract. You can imagine nowadays someone giving out a tract in an airport. And the title of the tract was, "The Lord is Merciful." It's amazing that someone would do that in today's age, but that was Iowa. That mercy that you received in your baptism or through the word has been reinforced, has been made clear as you have been taught by parents, teachers in Sunday school or day school, pastors, but especially as you have gathered here on Sunday morning around the gifts of God's word and sacrament. Now, this mercy and grace does not come out of thin air, but is based on Christ, his death, his resurrection. God's plan of salvation has been accomplished. It is finished completely. And this is the basis of God's mercy toward us. This is the basis of the gospel. And it becomes the basis for our following Jesus. It all comes down to that authority of God through Christ. Follow me. Now, following Jesus is not always easy. Some of us old folks can look back and think, well, following Jesus as a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, now that was easy. But now we look back at life and we see all the difficulties of following Jesus, there are peaks and there are valleys. And sometimes the valleys are deep, long, and wide. And when we're down in those valleys, we realize that we have a lot in common with Matthew, those other tax collectors and sinners. But that's why we're here today. We gather here to once again receive the mercy of God in His Word and in His sacred meal. We gather here to be in fellowship with Christ, who is present here in word and sacrament. Here we gather around the table, like those who gathered around Matthew's table in his house. We receive his mercy. We gather here. We long to hear those precious words. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace. All of us need a physician. We are all sinners. We have confessed this morning, as we confess each Sunday, that we are indeed sinful and in need of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. That's not just a once a day, once a month, once a year thing. We need it continually. And it is here that God meets us and delivers that mercy to us. He opens his hands and feeds us with his abundant mercy, mercy without limit. And the mercy that we receive in the forgiveness of sins begins to dispel that fear of following Jesus. Begins. That fear is always going to be there. It's not eliminated. And it's real. It's out there. But so is God's mercy and his forgiveness. And in those gifts is the strength to continue to follow Jesus. The 23rd Psalm is probably the most well-known of any psalm, and for good reason. For those words are, in those words, we have the comfort and strength of God's mercy as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Precious words. In those words, we hear the authority of God, God who sent his Son to be your Savior. We hear those words of comfort and strength for our journey. He speaks clearly and with authority, just as he spoke to Matthew. He says to each one of us, I will continue to shower you with my mercy. Follow me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.